We're going to be talking today about generosity and giving big unto the Lord and challenging a leap to big giving. So I thought I'd start with a lighthearted sermon, okay, with seven things you never hear in church on Sunday morning. Number seven, sorry, sir, you can't sit in that seat. We have a three-month waiting list to sit on the front row. Number six, Pastor, I was so enthralled, I never even noticed your sermon went over an hour long. Number five, I personally, I think we should get rid of heating and cooling. It's bringing way too much of the modern culture into our church. Number four, I love it when we sing songs that we've never sung before and I don't know. Number three, since we're all here early, let's go ahead and start the service. Don't think that's ever been said at the River. Number two, Pastor, we like to send you on a Bible seminar in the Bahamas. And finally, number one, Pastor, nothing inspires me more than when you preach on tithing. There you go. The seven things you'll never hear in church, right? All right. So today, as we look at giving, we're going to look at this Malachi passage. Now, the story of Malachi here takes place about 100 years after the people of Israel return to Israel. They had been exiled into foreign lands, and while they're gone, the few people that stayed there, Jerusalem was in disrepair. God led a team to come back and build the wall to protect them. They come back and build a wall, and then next they build the temple. And so the people of Israel have been restored. They're excited. They've got a new place. They're back in their own country serving the Lord. They're all excited. They start getting fervent for the Lord. And then Malachi comes about 100 years after that, and they've already fizzled out. They've already fizzled out. And his complaint, he's going to talk about two things. We're just going to look at the one. But their faithfulness in their marriage and in their financial giving for the work of God. Now, we're going to read Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 6. So if you got your Bibles out, you can read along with me. Verse 6 says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. For since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we've never gone away? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my house, in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. If you have your listening guide, go ahead and pull that out. That's the program we pass out every week. We put in there the things that we teach on so that you can follow along a little bit better. And the first thing on your listening guide is that God calls us to go big in our giving. The situation is that the people aren't going big in their giving. They're not trusting God with their giving. Now, God set up a system called the tithe. And a tithe simply means a tenth part, or as we would say it, 10%. And he set this up because it was simple, because it was a way of honoring him. If you look through the whole Old Testament, over and over again, he talks about offering. Over 700 times, God talks about an offering. Over 40 times, he talks about the tithe. And the idea is that when we come before the Lord, we bring our best. We give him our best service, we give him our best love, we give him our best actions, we give him our best in all that we do. And the tithe was a way that the people could give their first fruits. Now, we don't do it the way they do it back then, Back then, they literally, if they raised sheep, they'd come in with a sheep around their neck, and they've got a sheep walking into the temple, and they had someone there to receive the sheep, and they would butcher and prepare it. If they had gardens, if they had crops, if they were farmers, they would literally bring 10% of their crops in, and they would bring it to the temple, and they would sell or distribute it as needed to the people that were there. Throughout history, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, the giving to the church was primarily about five things they would do with it. They would give to the needy. They would make sure that there was no one in need in their flock. They would provide for those who were struggling in that way. They would give for the fellowship. They would come and they would bring their wine. They'd come and they'd bring their provisions from their farms. They'd come bring their meat, and they would celebrate. The Jews, we'll talk about this in a sermon series I do. They had over 40 days of vacation set up in their calendar. Over 40 days to celebrate. Pretty awesome. And so part of what they came and they brought was for the fellowship. They would also use it to provide for the priest or the pastors in the New Testament, to provide for the needs of them and their family. And they would use it for the mission of God, for the glory of God, for the mission of God as well. So that's pretty much the same thing we still use it for today, for those same purposes. We're very transparent here. Everybody that joins the church gets to see the budget, how we spend the money, what it goes towards. We don't have any smoke and mirrors. We're very accountable. Because I tell our folks, listen, we need to spend the Lord's money knowing that there's a single mom out there that trusts the Lord with her tithe each week and had to work very hard for it. That there's a senior adult out there living on a fixed income, trusting God with 10% of what they don't even have. That it's a big leap of faith when people give. And we need to be respectful and honoring that as we choose to spend as a staff. Well, in Malachi chapter 3, he tells them that they are actually under a curse because of their disobedience. Now, you can't directly connect that to America. This wasn't a prophecy for America. And you can't directly connect that to the church. But I believe we can apply these principles to our lives. I believe these principles apply to everybody in the room. That we're to give to God first and trust Him to provide the other 90%. And I've seen it happen over and over again when He does. He blows me away so many times how He provides more with my 90% than He did with my 100%. Now, as a church, we're called then to minister to the needs of the flock and to the needs of those in our community. And I want to brag on you guys for a minute because y'all have been so generous and you're giving so consistent that in last year, we were able to give away our biggest offering of the year, which is always our Easter offering. And then we did so well towards the end of the year that we said, look, why don't we give away our Christmas offering as well? And so last year, we were able to give away our Christmas and our Easter offerings on top of what we already give to missions and ministry in this community. And I believe if every believer, everybody that called themselves a follower of Jesus Christ, if every one of us in the world trusted God with our tithe, that we truly could eradicate world hunger, we could take care of pretty much all the social, financial issues of this world. But the challenge is sometimes we don't give, or sometimes those of us in leadership mismanage and somehow get the crazy idea that the tithes and offerings are so that the pastor or the staff can become wealthy. Didn't happen in the New Testament. 11 of the 12 disciples lost their lives. They weren't driving the double hump camels. They all had single hump. You know what I'm saying? They didn't get the extra little jingles on the side. They went with the simple. Well, Luke 11:42, talking about the tithe, I've had people say to him, well, Steve, tithing, isn't that Old Testament theology? Well, the only time Jesus, I ever find him complimenting the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, was the one time when he complimented them for their tithing. Here's what it says. It says, what sorrow awaits you, Pharisees. This is Jesus speaking. What sorrow awaits you, Pharisees, for you're careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. What are the more important things? Love and justice. Love and justice. Listen, if you're here today and this is your first time, you're going, oh, I finally came to church and they're talking about money. I get it. Listen, I didn't grow up in the church. My dad taught me that all the preachers were after was for your money. I want you to know it's not true. But sadly, there are some that are. But I just want you to know this is a safe place to be a part of the team. It's a safe place to give because we're generous in all areas. You'll hear about that a little bit more later after the sermon. But I just want to encourage you to realize that Christ encourages us to trust him with the first 10%. I believe it's an act of faith. It's a big act of faith when we go big. And I believe it's a big gift. I used to say that the tithe was the basement of giving. That it's the bottom expectation. And I realize now as a father of six and how hard it is to provide this, like, no, 10%, man, that's a big gift. That's a big leap of faith. If anybody's ever started out in that, I mean, that's a big leap of faith. And for me, it's a big leap of faith. I mean, if you stop and think about what you could get with your tithe, think about it. I mean, some people are going, don't say it. No, you need to know. If you skip your tithe and you make minimum wage, you know, you could probably buy a brand new little Chevy Spark. I think they're $99 a month and $2,000 down right now, whatever it is. Or if you had a job as a school teacher, you know, you could probably buy a Malibu or a Camry or something. With that tithe money, you could go and put it on a new car. If you had a managerial position, maybe you could even get you a Camaro or something. And if you're really killing it, you get one of those $80,000 awesome Ford trucks. You know what I'm saying? Like the Ford, oh, those things rock. I'm just saying, the mud tires. And anyway, my point is this. When you leap to trust God with your tithe, it's a sacrifice. It's an act of faith. And I just want to thank everybody that does that. And just tell you that if you do, God honors that. He sees it, and he honors that. And that's the second thing. Giving big comes with big promises from God. Giving big comes with big promises from God. Now, in this passage, he tells them in verse 10, he says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I'll pour out a blessing so great for you, you won't have room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine because they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. He wants to pour a blessing out on you and your family. He wants to show up and show off on the 90%. He wants to show you how he can take 90% and increase it to where it's worth more than your 100%. After the first service, I had several people come up to me and said, I want to tell you my story. I want to tell you my story. And they all had stories of how they started trusting God with their giving and how he'd provided. And I would just say to you, you can't outgive God. God is a generous God. He said he wants to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it. I've gotten to see that so many times. How does he do it? It's funny. He gives a very practical way here. He says, I'll put protection around your crops and the insects won't attack them. Your grapes won't drop before their time and be ruined. You know, I kind of translate that into modern day. It's like, hey, your car is going to give you $300,000. Your car is going to survive longer. Your breakdowns are going to be less. Your job is going to provide better. You're going to get more overtime. I just see the Lord doing it in practical life, ways in my life as well. And I believe that's what God does. When we trust him, he takes the 90% and stretches it further than the 100% in supernatural ways. Well, for me and my family and my children, we've got to see that. And I encourage you, if you're a parent, I encourage you to teach your kids tithing from the beginning. It teaches them to be grateful. It teaches them that everything they have is from God. It teaches them that to give back and to be generous in their lives and in those around them. But you need to know this too. You need to know God doesn't need your money. If you came today and you're sitting here going, oh, the pastor's going to try to twist her arm. Nope. I just want you to know we don't need your money. God is the provider, not you or I. God is the provider. He could pay the bills, whether it's one person in here that's faithful. God can pay the bills because he's the provider. If you want to skip over to Matthew 14, you don't have to read the whole thing, but verse 17. Matthew 14 is where Jesus is feeding the 5,000. And you got to read through this because I think Jesus is being funny. I think he's being funny with the disciples. Because here they are, he's been preaching for hours. Over 5,000 people are there. So, I mean, we've got about probably 500 or 600 in the room right now. So imagine this number times 10. And everybody's been there all day. They're hungry, and they've got a long walk back home. And so one of the disciples comes up, has a good idea, says, hey, Jesus, let's send them home now so they can go get something to eat. And Jesus looks at him. And in verse 16, it says, but Jesus said, that isn't necessary. You feed them. Can you imagine opening their wallets going, hey, Philip, how much you got? Well, I sold a couple of fish. I got $1.50. How about you, Peter? Where's Judas at? He keeps the pocketbook. Where's the money? I can just see Jesus just chuckling to himself. Okay, guys, what do you got? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Bring it to me. They bring it to him, and he breaks the bread, he gives thanks, and it feeds over 5,000 people. He was trying to teach them that God is the provider, no one else. God is the one that has the ability to provide in any situation, in any circumstance, because God has all the resources. There's a verse that says God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and you need to know he owns the hills too. So when we were praying for God to provide land for us, our prayer was, Lord, we want land next to the interstate so we can put a cross up and brag on how big you are next to the interstate. And Lord, we want to pray that you would provide. Yeah, amen. God provided. Amen. And let me tell you how he provided. We prayed. We had no money. We were a bunch of college students, new believers in Christ. And we just began praying, Lord, you got a piece of property somewhere. And we're driving by. We saw this piece of property. We prayed over it. We believe God had a place. They wanted $2.3 million or $2.1 million for this piece of property. And we were like, well, okay, God, we need a miracle. I remember it was still the day when those of us on staff weren't getting a real salary. We were having to raise outside support and work other jobs to try to pay the bills. And we were like, God, we don't know how you're going to do this, but we believe this is where you want us, and we're going to ask you for it. And we continue to pray. We ask God for a miracle. And we walked this property in prayer. And we brought people from our church out. And we prayed over this property. And long story short, the Lord worked it out for us to offer $225,000 for the front 24 acres. And we did that. And I'll never forget, the owner said, okay, so you guys have the money. When are you going to be able to pay me? And I was like, no, we don't have the money. But we believe God's going to do the impossible. And she looked at me like, okay. And it was about a week or two later that I got a phone call from somebody that didn't even go to our church, and they'd heard about what was going on, and the Lord had put it on their heart to buy the land and donate it to us for free. And we just knew, yeah, that's God. That's the kind of crazy big stuff that God can do, and I want you to know that. I want you to know that God can provide even when you go, Lord, this doesn't make sense on paper. Every time I've tried to wait to tithe to when I had the money, I had more month than I had money. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I don't give my first fruits to the Lord, I got more month than I got money. And my wife and I, we were newlyweds and learning how to do this marriage thing together and learning how to do finances together. And we had a month that came up and we couldn't give our tithe and pay rent. I remember it was a big day for us because it was like, whoa, this is like new for us. We're both ministry students. So you think, man, we got faith, right? We're going to go into full-time mission work. Maybe we'll be missionaries one day. And we got to either trust God or pay rent. We paid rent. Paid the rent that Sunday. And And I remember feeling like, oh, Lord, I let you down. I should have trusted you first. We paid our rent. Next month came around. We said, Lord, we'll catch up next month, right? We'll catch up next month because next month, I'm sure, you know, we'll have better earnings this month. We'll work harder, pull some extra hours. And the next month came around, and it was either rent or tithe. We paid rent. Next 30 days came around, and it just seemed like it was a cycle of falling farther and farther behind in income. And my wife and I talked and said, look, we've got to trust God with our giving. We can't try to do it on our own. It's not working. And so I remember that Sunday, we put the money in the basket, and the rent was due on Wednesday, and we needed like $430 for rent. And that Monday, we got an envelope in the mail, and it was checks from her mom that people had sent us for our wedding that came in late. And I was like, look, God's providing. And she's like, the rent's $450. This is $150. I was like, yeah, but it's a sign. It's a sign. Okay, we still had till Wednesday. Wednesday, the day of, true story, you can't make this up. I get a letter in the mail. I wish I had taken a picture of it. Of course, she didn't take pictures of anything back then. It was all still, you know, forget it. Sorry. Anyway, but so it takes too long to explain about taking a roll to the Walmart and getting it exposed. Anyway, so I wish I had taken a picture or at least kept the thing. But literally, it was a brother in the Lord who just out of the blue, hadn't heard from me in months, said, hey, in my quiet time this week, I feel like the Lord told me that I was supposed to bless you. And so don't know if you need it for anything. If not, use it for whatever you want. But the Lord told me to send you $500. And we were just sobbing, and we're like, okay, God, you're the provider, not us. You're the provider, not us. And I want you to learn that today. Yeah, learn that. God is your provider. Learn that God is your provider. You can trust him. I had a single mom come to me after first service. And she said, thank you so much for sharing this. I needed this. She said, last year, she said, I was working one day less, and I was trusting God with my tithes. And she said, I was making all my bills. She said, this year I got scared, and I picked up an extra day at work. And she said, I'm still behind. She said, I know God's telling me to take a leap of faith, but I'm scared. And I know it's a big step. It's an act of faith. And if you notice, it always comes the same way. And that's point number three. Big giving is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. It is. It's a leap that you have to take. In this passage, he says, if you bring the tithes in the storehouse, then I'm going to do this miracle. It's a leap of faith. It's a big step. We got our ushers going to the back because we got a surprise for you today. Just ignore them for the moment as they go back there. I want to back up to Matthew 17. In Matthew 17, this is a funny story, and it's funny that God even puts us in there. It's a story of the disciples going to Capernaum, and the collector of the temple tax came to him and said, hey, Peter, does Jesus not pay the temple tax? And Jesus says to him, he says almost in a humorous way, he says, hey, when a king conquers a country, who pays the tax? The king and his people? Or the ones that are conquered? He's like, well, the ones that got conquered. He's like, yeah, so basically, why should Jesus pay the temple tax when he's God, right? But he says, just so as not to offend anybody, Peter, you go pay the tax. And he says, I want you to get the coin out of the fish that you catch. Now, Peter was a fisherman, okay? He'd never seen a coin in the mouth of a fish. So this was causing him to take a leap of faith of something that he had never physically seen himself. So it'd be like the Spirit of God, as you're praying for God to provide, and the Spirit of God said, hey, you need that $500 for rent? I want you to go, and I want you to pop the trunk and look under the carpet in your car. And you're going, God, there can't be any money under the carpet in my car. I've had this car since new. There'd not be any money under the carpet. And the Lord says, I want you to go do that. And you're thinking, this is stupid. This is stupid. Right? I mean, can you imagine Peter? He's going to get the fish, and he's thinking, there's not money in a fish. I mean, why would there be money in a fish? Some people have tried to to rationalize it and say, well, the money was he caught a big fish and he went and sold the big fish. And no, it says the money is in the mouth of the fish. And I would just say to you sometimes, when you take a leap of faith, you don't have a clue how God's going to provide. And when he shows up, he tells me, he says, test me in this. And that's when he gets to show up. It's a very easy, tangible way for him to prove to you that he is God. And it takes a leap of faith. Well, I'm going to ask now the ushers, you guys come on around and start passing them out. We've got envelopes for everybody here. Don't open them till everybody gets one. What? Okay, yeah. Don't open them till everybody gets one. We get one per family. So if you got four kids, you get one envelope. If you're single, you get one envelope. If you're married, you get one envelope. We just got enough for one per family, okay? So everybody get you an envelope. Don't open them. We're going to give you a chance to experience big faith giving here in just a second. Give you a chance to learn what it is to tithe. While they're passing that out, I want to read to you another story, not another story, another passage. First from Proverbs. Proverbs says this. Proverbs 11:24 says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. I believe that's a principle that applies. The people I've seen that are most generous, I see them the happiest with their money. I don't see them all being rich. I don't see them all being poor. I see them being happy with the money God's given them, being content. And I believe when you're generous, you'll find contentment in your finances and you'll find provision. Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He put it this way. He says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. So this was like a farming example. How many of you still cut beans and sell it by the bushel? Anybody? Nobody? Okay, that's why it makes it hard for this example to work. But the idea was a big bushel of beans that you'd want to shake it down, slide it from side to side and have the beans kind of squished down and then get it poured on so you got a full bushel. Make sense? Let me give you a modern day illustration. My wife and I went to Gatlinburg for a getaway for the two of us without kids. Let me say that, okay? Spouses, y'all need to do that from time to time, get away without the kids. And so we got away and we went to Five Guys Burgers and Fries. You ever been to Five Guys Burgers and Fries? Okay, instead of giving you like the little carton or the plastic paper bag, they give you like a big cup to put the french fries in. Like, yeah, baby, the cup, right? And so I got an order of fries, and I was so blessed because this guy, you know, you can slide, you can take that little metal slider thing they use to put the fries in, they slide it in there, and if you tilt it on its side, it always looks full, right? Because a couple of fries fall out to the front. And don't you hate it when you get that and then you sit down at your table and you stand it up and it all just whoop, drops to the bottom? Yeah. Well, this guy, man, I'll go back and find him again. Because I watched him and he filled it up and then he shook it down and then he put some more in. They were sticking up over the top. I was like, yeah. Then he sets it in the bag and he kind of looks at it. He's like, gets another whole thing and just dumps it in there. I was like, yeah, woo! Yeah, so if you tithe, you get more fries. There you go. Okay, that's not what I meant. I'm just kidding. That is not the direct correlation, okay? But here's the thing. I was excited because that was the kind of blessing he gave me. He like dumped extra in there. I felt blessed. I was like, and they're seasoned fries, you know what I'm saying? The good stuff. So we really enjoyed the Five Guys Burgers. I'm not a commercial for him. I just for that guy that worked there that day. And a picture of the generosity of God. I believe that's what he says he'll do for us when we're generous to others and himself. That when we trust him with our tithes, when we're generous to him, he wants to bless us to overflowing. And that's what he's going to do today. Okay, go ahead and take your envelopes and open them up. Okay. In everybody's envelope, there should be $10. Okay. Now, don't you leave here today and say, oh, they paid me $10 to go to church. Don't post that on Facebook, okay? Do not do that. Oh my goodness, I'll be running out of town. But here's what I want you to do. I realize that first leap of faith is hard, so we're going to give you an opportunity to practice it today. So for everybody, you got 10 bucks. So when the offering comes at the end of the service, I want you to put it in a basket. That's what you're going to do with it, okay? Because that's what God does for us. You see, sometimes we think we earn our money, but we really don't. God gives us the back that allows us to work hard. Amen. He gives us the hand that allows us to do the work. He gives us the brain that allows us to figure things out and keep our jobs. And because he gives us all that, we're able to have an income. But oh, by the way, that's not all he's given us. He's put us in the middle of Cookeville, Tennessee. He's put us in the land with the greatest provision, I think, in the history of the world. He's put us in a place where we can find work, work hard, and get a paycheck. I've been in other countries where people are willing to work hard and they can't even scratch out a living because the jobs just aren't there. Just read about Dominica and Puerto Rico where the hurricane came through. There are people more than willing to work, but there's no money to be made. All the natural resources have been destroyed and they're trying to figure out what to do. And we are so blessed. So just like this envelope that came to you today, you didn't do anything to earn it. You showed up and boom, we gave it to you. I see that way with my paycheck. I see every dollar that comes in as a gift from God and that he is my provider. And the first thing I do with that is I give my first 10% back to him as a praise offering to him to say thank you. And then the church is responsible for providing for the needs of others, for doing the mission of the church, for providing for the needs of the pastors and their families and that kind of thing. So I want to challenge you. Take that dollar when the offering basket comes, put it in. You say, what about the other $9? Do good. Be generous with the other $9. Find a fun way to be generous with the other $9. Maybe you came today and you're like, how are we going to get gas for the rest of the week? Because if we go to church, that's a big expense. Take that $9 and put it in your gas tank. Maybe your next door neighbor's going through a tough time and you know they're having struggles. Go take that $9, buy them a gas card. Maybe they need food. You can pick up some food. Maybe you're going out to lunch afterwards and maybe you need to give a big tip and bless that person who's working their fingers to the bone doing that while you're here, right? And let me just get on a little rant for just a minute, a pet peeve. I just had somebody else in the last 2 weeks tell me they don't like working Sundays because Christians that come in are cheap tippers. Okay? Now, probably not talking about you guys because y'all don't even look like Christians after church on Sunday. You know, I mean, y'all dressed in your blue jeans and whatever, okay? Right? All right. But here's what I'm going to tell you. If you don't have the 15 to 20% for the tip, just go to McDonald's or somewhere else, okay? People are worthy of their reward when they work hard. And so I want to just encourage you, be a good tipper, okay? Let that be part of your testimony. Sometimes, this may sound silly, and I don't know if you're a server, maybe you think I'm cheap because I usually get water. But one of the reasons I get water is so I feel like I can afford the tip. It's just something I do in order to make it kind of even out. But be a good tipper and be a generous person. That's what Christ calls us to. So take that other $9 and have fun with it. Find a way to be generous this week. You don't give it back to us. That's not what we're asking for. We want you to trust God with the tithe, that $1, and trust in him. And that's just an example for your whole life. Now, if you take the other 90% of your income and you go, okay, God, I gave you the first 10%. I'm going to put the other 90% on Powerball. I don't think that's what he's talking about, okay? You still got to be responsible and wise and follow the biblical teachings on the rest of your finances. But the first 10%, I believe, is his. I believe it's a privilege that we have to give back for what he's done. Now, let me close with this. For some that are here today, this message will hopefully be a message of encouragement because you've already been giving, and I say thank you. I say thank you. For others, this is going to be a leap of faith that you're going to have to go before God and go, Lord, is this what you're telling me to do? And take that leap. For others, you're here and you do not yet know Christ. Let me tell you, we're not after your money. Matter of fact, you can go for the first time in your life and say, I went to church and they paid me to go to church, okay? First time you can ever say that, maybe, all right? But if you're here and you don't yet know Christ, the greatest gift that you can ever receive before you leave here is a relationship with Him. Amen. The good news that Christ loved you so much that He recklessly gave His life. He gave it without any consideration of His own safety and well-being. He gave it up for you and for me because He loves us that much.